We are on a mission to empower busy women with the tools and skills they need to grow a successful, profitable and purposeful handmade creative business.
A business that they are excited to jump out of bed for every morning.
A business that allows them to quit the day job and start living life how they want to live it.
Welcome to the Handmade Business Podcast with your hosts Anna Maria and Lindsay Warren. Hi everybody, on this week's episode of the Handmade Business Podcast, Lindsay and I are talking about a topic which on the face of it may seem quite negative, but actually I think we will change your mind on that. We've got quite a few different angles to come at. The topic is competition. So I think actually, Lindsay, would you mind the quote, the Atomic Habits quote, would you mind reading that quote?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great place to start, Anna. So this quote is by the author James Clear, who writes Atomic Habits. And he says, "It is not your job to judge your own work. It is not your place to compare it to others. It is not your responsibility to figure out how valuable it is or how useful it can be. It is not your job to tell yourself no."
When you listen to that quote, because we talk about competition, or when somebody hears competition, especially in the handmade seller world, maybe even especially as women, we automatically think that competition allows us to compare who we are, our products, our worth, our business. And I think throughout the episode, we will show you how competition actually is a really positive thing. But it is not, it's not a time for you to start comparing yourself. So yeah, I think that quote's great. Recently, I was in Tony Robbins does some masterclasses throughout the year, now online, obviously. And I was in one of them a few weeks ago, and he was talking about competition. He talked about how the definition, actually, of competition is comes from the Latin word meaning to meet, to come together. So I found that really struck me. I think that that's very true. That is what we do. We meet and we come together. That was obviously, you know, if you look in the English dictionary, it's going to say something where you're wanting to strive or you're wanting to win against an opposition. And I think that, yes, that might be the 21st century way of describing competition. But actually, the original is we meet and we come together.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. So when you think about competition, think about it that way. Lindsay, what are your viewpoints on market research?
So for me, obviously, you know, when you do need to do market research, because you might be looking at, you know, pricing and, you know, what are other people pricing their items at, you know, how other people do things. But it's always with a view that you're only ever going to take inspiration from when you do the market research. You know, what can you do and improve on for yourself, but never to copy another person? That's very much my kind of view on market research. What are your thoughts on that, Anna?
Market research is a perfect example as to why competition is good. Businesses spend literally millions of pounds every quarter of the year on market research. They require market research. It's really important. But in order to conduct market research, we need to have a competitor. Like, that's the whole point. So, but what does market research allow us to do? Like you just said, it allows you to understand pricing. Are you competitively priced compared to other people? Are you solving your customers' problems? This is the best way to actually understand who it is that you're targeting. Can you do something better to solve your customers' problem that your competitor is not doing? And then another really important point is, like you just said, what's your competitor doing that you can do better? And so differentiating yourself in the marketplace. And you can only do that. You can only, you know, no one is you, and that is your superpower. Really strong, important quote there. The only way that you can actually differentiate yourself from somebody else is by understanding what they are doing. And so in for that, you need to have the competition. They will make you think outside the box when it comes to packaging or product photography, you know, because you'll think, all right, that's how they're doing it, and that's great. How can I do it better?
Yeah.
You can learn from their mistakes, you know, whatever they might have done, whether it's, you know, providing bad customer service or not shipping things on time. And you can get all this kind of information from people's reviews. You can see what the customers have been struggling with particular shops, if they've got negative reviews, for example. So, you know, what can you do better? How strive to be better? And without competition, you cannot. And I think that's actually where Tony was coming from with the, you know, we meet and we come together, because when we come together, we can push the other person to become better.
That's such a good way to look at competition. It's just, for me, it's all about, you know, when I think of competition, I just want to be the best I can be and try and not focus on what anyone else is doing. It's all about, you know, if I can stay in my lane and be the best I can be, that's, for me, that's the place I want to be. So, yeah, and one of the things when it does come to competition is I always think back to when my daughter was at primary school. She was actually really good at running. She was in the running race, and she was in the lead, and, you know, she was going to win that race. But actually what happened was she was so busy turning around, seeing where the person was behind her, that they overtook her and she didn't win, you know. And I think that's just a really good thing to bear in mind when, you know, it's so easy to get bogged down looking at what other people are doing, but it's so important just to stay focused on where you're going and not worry about what other people are doing. Yes, do your market research and things like that, but stay focused on you and where you're going, not what other people are doing, because you can waste time, you know, so much time doing that, when actually you could just be bettering yourself. Do you agree, Anna?
Absolutely. You know, competition is not the the gateway into comparison. That's not what it is. It's if it's not going to push you forward. So I think I said this to somebody a while ago, that if, you know, market research is majorly important, and it's how you, you know, how you learn to position yourself within the marketplace that, you know, you're selling within. But if it gets to the point at any time when doing market research makes you feel bad or makes you feel less, and so you start to compare your worth to somebody else's, then you have to stop. And you must not pick it back up again until you can, until you feel you're in a better headspace to literally see it for what it is. Like I said, it's research. Research is learning. That's all that it is. It is not an invitation to start making yourself feel bad. You know, you can't, can you imagine somebody like, for example, Facebook, like doing market research on TikTok? I'm feeling bad. They wouldn't do that. It's, you know, they are both social medias. They're both in competition with one another. In fact, Instagram probably would have been a better, I mean, that is Facebook still, but we'll use Instagram as the, you know, Instagram doesn't look at TikTok and go, oh my goodness, they're so much better than me. Now, I'm not belittling anybody who feels that, because I have absolutely felt that way in so many occasions. But my point is that they're looking at it and thinking, right, what are they doing? Oh, that's interesting. How can we take that onto our platform and make that better? And then once they've successfully got their research, they stop. And then they don't pick it back up again until later on. So only do market research, only be looking at competition if you can, if you are in the right mind space. If you are not, don't do it, because there's no point. It's just going to deflate you. It's just going to make you feel bad. And, you know, when I first started making jewelry, and I had you know, maybe zero sales on my original jewelry and gem shop. And okay, yeah, I was quite lucky that it didn't take long for me to pick up a bit of momentum. But even the momentum, even before I got to that 100 sales, and it felt like it took forever to get to 100 sales, I remember looking at other jewelry shops and thinking, what are they doing so much? Why are they so much better than I am? Like, what are they doing? What does she have? It was never really a he, so it will just be a she. What does she have that I don't have? Why are her photographs? But mm-hmm. Why are her photographs so amazing? How has she done that? And I think in the end, yeah, I did just have to step back and go, I can't do that. It's just making me feel bad.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I completely would, Anna. And I think, you know, one of the things that when we do compare ourselves to others is that we don't, you know, we're perhaps comparing our first year to somebody's fifth year and thinking, oh, look how good they're doing and I'm not doing that good yet. You know, and that is one of those things that really can just make you feel bad. But the other thing as well, we don't know, you know, what's going on for that other person. That other person might have 12 hours a day to work on their business, whereas you might be juggling a family and a job, and you might have 2 hours a day, you know. So you're never going to be comparing like for like, you know. And there is a quote that I would really like to share, which says, don't compare yourself to others. There's no comparison between the sun and the moon. They shine when it's their time. You know, so this is why, you know, if you can stay focused on what you're doing, you know, let go of the comparisonitis and just leave that where it is, if that's even a word. I don't know if I've made that up.
No, that's not
a word. You know, leave that to one side and just do your best to shine.
But I think another thing that's really important to note about with competition is that it can bring up feelings of negativity towards other businesses.
Yes.
And I think, and I've got a quote from Pinterest that I found, which is, supporting another's success won't ever dampen yours.
Oh, that is so true.
Because I think that's the other side of when you start to compare, you'll also start to feel negatively about the other person's success. Yeah. And you know, you and I, Lindsay, we're very much about abundance. We think that there's plenty to go around.
Definitely.
By somebody else succeeding, it does not take away from your opportunity to succeed. But let me tell you how you won't succeed. You won't succeed by copying, and you won't succeed by ripping off somebody else's products. And this happens. I am a massive fan of pins and patches, right? Huge fan. I love them. I've stopped collecting them as much now because they were just taking over my walls.
But, tell me what pins and patches are, Adam. I'm not actually sure.
Oh, right. Okay. So, you know, like a pin, like with a safety pin. So it'll have like a cool logo on the front, and then it'll just have a pin, and people put them on their bags.
Or they can
pin them onto their clothes, their jumpers. Some people pin them on their trainers.
Right.
I just pin them on my wall. You can actually get like a circle. What's it called? Oh, I forgot what it's called. It's like a circle thing, and you can pin all of the pins on there and make like a patchwork kind of thing.
Oh, right.
I need to get one of those because at the moment mine are all just kind of blue tacked onto my wall. And also patches. So they're like, what, are you iron them onto your clothes? So they might have like a funny thing. I'm really into small biz memes at the moment. If anybody doesn't follow small biz memes, you have to go and follow them. They are absolutely hilarious. I was telling our mutual friend Ruth about them the other day. Like, we've just been having such a laugh because people could say the most ridiculous things. I'm so going out on a tangent here, but really go and follow Small Biz. It will make you laugh your head off.
No.
But they're a perfect example because they're showcasing how pins and patches have been. It's one of the reasons, actually, probably, that they're kind of a dying business at the moment because of how much they've been ripped off. Because it's so easy for people to just copy their design, copy it badly, copy them horrendously, because the original artist makes the most, you know, whichever artist it is, makes the most beautiful design. And then somebody will come along and either screenshot the picture and then, you know, copy it, rip it off, ruin that person's business. Now, I'm not saying that that's the case for everybody, that, you know, everybody will have the capabilities of ruining another person's business by copying. But it's still not cool. It's not cool to copy. Hashtag not cool to copy. And I think you and I have both had experiences of, you know, nothing of as much of a grand scheme as somebody actually taking our work. And although actually maybe yours was a little bit like that. Tell us a little bit about your experience of copying.
So mine was sort of earlier on in my business. I was not aware of this person, but somebody I knew, she came and told me that she'd seen another seller had actually used one of my photos on their Instagram page. So it wasn't that they just copied my item, they'd actually used my photo as well. So I did contact that person. I was nice because, you know, in some ways I thought that person's obviously feeling so desperate that they're even using my photo. They're not even attempting to take their own photo of something they've made and put on their page. And I asked her to take the photo down and she did. But I do think, you know, it is so important to, you know, to find your own way. And copying, you know, that really made me feel, you know, it was really uncomfortable when to know that somebody had actually took my photo and put it on their page. That, you know, that was really upsetting. You know, and sometimes things can come along and I can see how people get in these situations. I've been asked, you know, I've had people send me photos of fairies that other fairy makers have said to me, can you make this? And I say, no, you need to go back. That's, you know, sometimes I recognise them as a different fairy maker. No, that's, you know, I've given them a link. No, this person makes those fairies, not me. You know, and if they've come back and they've even come back and said, oh, but they're not making that stuff at the moment. And I'm like, but that I don't make fairies like that. You'll see all my fairies on my page. You know, I don't want to make fairies the same as what someone else has made just to get a sale, because that's not what I'm about. You know, I only want to make the things that are, you know, that are my fairies in my way and not what somebody else is doing.
I completely agree, because you lose your integrity as a seller.
Yeah.
It's like you almost kind of become a sellout if you're going to do something like that.
Yeah.
There's just no point. Might as well just, as much as, you know, you could see somebody else's business and think, oh, I want a piece of that. And you can have a piece of that in its, you know, entirety sense, but you cannot have a piece of theirs.
No.
You can have your own.
Yes.
And I think that's what's really important to remember, is that there's enough for them. And like we just said, you know, supporting another success won't ever dampen yours. There is enough for them and there is enough for you. No one is you, and that is your superpower. Differentiate from that person. Now, that is not to say that there can't be the same product, as in you just said fairies and another fairy maker. It's the same product, but they're just different identities.
Yeah, this is it.
So, you know, don't sell out and don't copy people's pictures. I mean, it's happened recently to somebody that we know, like, that they've just taken a product that was even made for charity and made it themselves and used even her pictures and everything. I mean, no, it's not okay. I mean, I'm not saying that any of our listeners would ever do that, but it is something to just keep in mind, that don't ever think it's okay to look at somebody else and to compare yourself or to copy. Competition is literally just for research and for bettering ourselves and for looking over and going, hey, look what they've done. I can do that too. That's all it ever is.
I mean, you've had people copy the styling of your photos as well, haven't you, Anna?
Yeah, I mean, it was quite a while ago now, because like I was saying to you before we came on the call, it was when the search algorithm on Etsy used to show your products. If you had the tag and title, you were guaranteed to be in the search results, kind of thing. So it wasn't very hard for me to come across this person, because not only had they copied the exact styling of how I style my lockets, They'd also used my tags and titles. So it was very obvious to me. The titles were the same. And this was a long time ago. I don't even know if that shop exists anymore. I don't go looking. I probably did maybe look a little bit more in those days. Like, that was quite a while ago. I don't go looking anymore. But yeah, because I, like we were saying, the way in which my lockets are made and the way I style them on the side of it, I mean, it's a piece of marble, but it's just kind of made to look like a little doorstep. That's kind of what I was going for. And then I just have baby's breath. Is that what it's called? That flower?
Exactly what you mean when you say it, all soft and gentle.
And that's kind of what I was trying to embody with the lockets. So I used to put that on either side. And yeah, this person did exactly the same. So, and I was the only person on Etsy that did it like that. Everybody else just kind of had them flat, which is fine. And everybody else has looked great because that was their own product. But mine was just so different that when somebody else did it precisely like mine, it was very obvious.
Especially
with the tags and titles. But on the subject of tags and titles, actually, at the end of the day, when it comes to tags and titles, I don't think that there's actually a problem, because that is part of your market research. You know, when you're looking for keywords, you need to know what other people are using, because you need to know, well, what's going to get you shown in search.
Well, this is it. And you need to know that you are showing up in the, you know, on Etsy, that you're showing up, don't you, in the right place, that when you're on Instagram, like, nobody owns the copyright of a particular hashtag. It's, you know, you need to make sure you're showing, you know, you're using the right ones, don't you?
Exactly. So, I mean, it's never not okay to use the same tags and titles, but I mean, there's a way in which it's done where you can just really tell that somebody has just copied the title of somebody else. And you know what? Maybe back in the day, as with this person I just said with myself, that would have worked. But actually now, Etsy, or the algorithm, has gotten a little bit clever. And although you probably will sort of surface in search results, it's actually better to have your own combination of the same words. That's okay, but just not outright the same coding, basically.
Yeah, you want somebody it to be individual as such, don't you?
Exactly. So again, where market research has a line. Another thing I wanted to mention was Natalie Frank. She was a photographer, I believe. It's been a while since I've listened to her story, so you'll have to go and look it up. But she started a group in America called the Rising Tides, and they used to meet. Were they called the Rising Tides? They used to meet on a Tuesday. I feel like the word Tuesday was in the sentence. She definitely had Rising Tides. Anyway, she had a group. They used to meet on a Tuesday and they used to discuss business. And it wasn't just all different types of businesses. It was sometimes the same businesses, but they'd talk about their experiences. And it was all this thing about rising tides lift all boats. So they would learn from each other and learn from the mistakes that they'd made and say, oh, you know, don't do it that way. Do it this way instead. And it just kind of caught on to the point where now they've got a group in, I think, every state, every county in America. And her hashtag is the hashtag community over competition, which I'm sure most people have heard of. And I think that that's, you know, really, it's a nice, I want to say this as eloquently as I can. As females, we are empathetic, we are understanding, we are encompassing of other people, and I think it's really important that we embody those female characteristics when it comes to competition. It is okay for us all to succeed. We can lift each other up.
Definitely, yeah, not bring each other down. And, you know, if we can all support each other as business owners, then I think, you know, that makes your whole experience of running a business so much nicer and better for everybody.
And what's your experience, Lindsay, with, like, you know, group accountability? Because obviously you have a group of ladies that you coach, You know, how amazing is that, that they can all be together? Am I right?
I always, you know, want to encourage people to, you know, lift each other up, support each other. You know, on my handmade car fair page, there's so many people that are visiting the page now, and they're, you know, they're tagging in their business friends so they can get seen on there as well. And that's what, you know, what I want my social media to all be about on there is, it's, you know, it's about supporting small businesses. It's not about being better than anyone else. It's just about being, you know, supporting each other and lifting each other up, really.
And I think that's where the community over competition, it's not a place for judgment. It's not a place for comparison, whether it's to look at another person and think, oh, I'm better than that person, or why am I not as good? Whichever way around it is that you're seeing. So, yeah. Any further thoughts, Lindsay?
I do know. I think we've covered most things, really. I think one little tip as well, you know, one thing I learned early on when I did have my photo taken is to put a watermark of your logo on your photos. That is just one little tip to think about if, you know, something, you know, competition is something that you've perhaps, you know, experienced in a negative way, is to kind of watermark your work. It doesn't have to be anything, you know, doesn't have to be in your face, but just a subtle little watermark of your logo. I tend to add in the corner of a lot of mine. That those little things can just help protect your work, and people recognise that it is you and not other people. I think as well, like, when you're consistent, like, with your branding, so that people do know it's you, that can help. Obviously, you've had that styling copied in the past, but I suppose they're just a few little tips, really, just to help people perhaps protect their work a little bit.
Somebody that just sprung to my mind straight away is Ginny Fears, who I think you follow on Instagram.
Yeah, page. I love her, yeah.
But don't you always know when it's her post in the feed?
Yeah.
Instantly. I mean, you could look at it with your eyes closed almost. You know that, oh, that's Ginny Fears, because she has positioned herself so well in the marketplace. She is an example of true branding very, very quickly. And if anybody doesn't follow Ginny Fears, you really, really should. She's excellent. She's, you know, she's got an amazing Reels course. I've actually bought the Reels course and it's great. But the thing that kind of struck me is she is doing something that's similar to a lot of people on Instagram, as in she talks about how to grow on Instagram. Like, that's her baseline. That's what she does. She helps a variety of different businesses grow their following on Instagram and grow their engagement, and so therefore grow their sales. But she's done it so cleverly. She's found her unique selling point. She's literally differentiated herself from every avenue of, air quotes, competition, to the point where now huge people have started following her. I noticed the other day that Jenna Kutcher was now following her, and I think Janet Murray follows her. And, you know, she's got all these huge manifestation babe, huge accounts that are now starting to follow her because they're looking to her for inspiration. I think that is I was going to say it's quite a lot of pressure if you try and think, oh, you want to be like Ginny Fears, but it's just a great example to show that even in a saturated marketplace, you can actually make yourself be different. So there's never an excuse of everybody else is doing it, so I can't do it. I'm never going to be there. Well, Ginny is actually proof that even in one of the most saturated markets on the internet, she has positioned herself, and, you know, now anybody will recognize her. Don't you agree?
Yeah, definitely. So, and I think that's the thing. It's all about just being authentically you, just putting yourself out there and showing the real you, and not being afraid to do that, and not thinking that you have to be like anyone else. It's just all about being you, because people will relate to you, you know, when you are yourself. Would you agree with that, Anna?
Exactly. And you know, if I ever needed help with whether it was Reels or Instagram growth, I'm going to go straight to Ginny, just because I feel like she's genuine. I really relate to her. And that's another thing as well that I forgot to mention before is, how do you differentiate yourself from the quote competition? Tell your story. You know, show other people how you're different. What's your why? Why are you doing this? And so that's, even if you're making, let's say, a candle and somebody else is also making a candle and you've both even got similar scents, okay, so then how do you make yourself different? Well, why did you start the candle business? You know, what quirky little mannerisms can you bring into your videos or your writing or your photography? How can you make it so that you're different to the other candle maker who can also be different and can also succeed, but you're just bringing a different, what is it, bringing a different thing to the party, something like that? Yeah. You're bringing something different to the table.
Yes. So
we have a Morrisons, we have a Tesco's, we have a Sainsbury's, we have an Aldi, we have a Lidl. They're all different. We can all shop at all of them for all different things. We have Marks & Spencer's, Waitrose, different price points. They all sell very similar products, but they all coexist in the same marketplace. So,
like you say, they're all different and all going to appeal to different people. And that's just how we are. And the more you show up to your followers and your audience and the more they get to know you, they'll decide whether you're the right fit for them. And I think that's really important to remember.
So I think that's, those are some really good tips actually for how to position yourself in the marketplace. I think it was Boss Babe that made this quote. I have never had to unscrew another woman's light bulb in order to shine.
Oh, perfect. That is a perfect finishing point, Anna.
So I hope that everybody's enjoyed this episode, and I hope that it's given you some food for thought. That is a tongue twister.
Okay, well, thanks everyone for listening this week. I hope you really enjoyed the show. If you enjoyed listening to the podcast, we would love you to like and subscribe. And if you could leave us a review on iTunes, that would be amazing. And if you'd like to sign up to our podcast newsletter, you'll get a free photography hints and tips ebook. So you can sign up to that on our podcast website, which is at thehandmadebusinesspodcast.co.uk. So go and check us out there.
Wonderful. Thank you, everybody.
See you soon. Bye.